Please turn in your Bibles with me to our text, which comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 7 to 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 7 to 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. Please then hear with me the reading of God's Word. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let them rejoice in them all. But let them remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Thus far is a reading of God's Word. Well, what we have in these four verses this evening is Solomon's admonition to the young and to the old and to everyone in between concerning how we ought to think about life as we are marching ahead towards death and ultimately towards eternity. Now, I know that, generally speaking, we don't like to talk about death. It's not a great conversation starter, is it? But as each day passes, it brings us right nearer and nearer to death's door. And as we draw nearer and nearer to death's door, we are also drawing nearer and nearer to eternity. And with that in mind, we ought to spend some time considering how we live in light of the fact that we won't be here forever, and consider how we ought then to live now, since how we live has a lot to do with, you know, where we are going when we die. And death is something that will happen to us all. Now, the first thing then that Solomon says we must do in this life, as we are marching towards death and eternity, is rejoice. Right? The first thing we must do is rejoice. In verse 7, light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. The first part of verse 8, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Okay? After winter, that winter season that we're kind of coming out of here, and all of the gloom and the cold and the rain and all of those things, I think many of us are ready to see the sun, are we not? I know that in those winter months, you know, you walk out of work 4:30, 5 o'clock, and it's pitch black, right? It's already dark. And so it's always nice when the season begins to turn, and now, you know, 7:30 p.m., right, it's still light outside. When the summer months come along, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, we will still have some light outside. And who doesn't enjoy that and like to take advantage of all of those kind of extra hours that we've been given by the light of the sun? It's those things, really, isn't it? The beauty of the sun. Other things that we take for granted, small things like that, that oftentimes make life for all of us quite sweet, doesn't it? This is why so many choose in their latter years, you know, in retirement, to move down south, right? To move to the sun, right? To move to where there is more light. And so while there is light, while the sun continues to warm our bodies, we should enjoy it, right? Embrace it, rejoice in it, knowing that it's given for all people, right? It's not just given for you and I, but the sun and the enjoyment of it is given to all people by God. Right? Jesus himself says that, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, for he that is his father makes his son rise on the evil and on the good. Now, what I also, though, think Solomon may be alluding to here when he talks about the light, since in just a short period of time he's going to contrast it with darkness, is the idea that we should not just kind of rejoice at as we experience the good gift of the sun and light, but rather we are to rejoice while the day is good, right? While the season is good, while times are pleasant, right? In Scripture, isn't oftentimes light and the sun, right, speak about something that is good, and darkness speaks about something that is evil. And so it's a reminder to not just rejoice in the good gifts of God, but we are also called to rejoice in the good day, right, while that day is here. Right? So many people are focused on other days, right, other than what's going on, and they miss out on the good day. Right? But each day is to be enjoyed. Each day is to be lived as if it is our last, because the fact of the matter is that none of us, as we sit here today, right, know whether or not we shall be here tomorrow or not. If the statistic that I looked at is accurate, there will be 150,000 people throughout the entire world to whom this day will be their last. This is why James says in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town, spend a year there, trade, make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Right? So none of us have guarantees for how long we will be here on earth. None of us have any guarantees that we will be here tomorrow. And none of us have any guarantee that even if we do have an extended future, that the future that we'll have will be any better than what we have now presently. And so Solomon says, while it's light, while the sun is out, while the day is good, rejoice and be glad in it. Because what is inescapable for every single one of us here is that there will be darkness that is ahead. Right? There will be dark days ahead. This is why, as we live as those headed towards death and eternity, Solomon says, not only are we to be people who rejoice, but we are also to be people who remember. Right? In the middle of verse 8, he says, "But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity." All people, everyone here today, will face dark days. And I think the longer you live here on earth, you realize that. Right? Those who have been here more years than not kind of understand the whole kind of range of emotions. Right? They know what it is to lose. Right? They know what it is to sorrow. They know what sadness and mourning is. These are things that many children in their youth know nothing about. Right? They don't know anything about that darkness yet. As kids, you don't really notice it. You think you're going to live forever. You think nothing will ever change. Right? But as we get older, you see that it does. Right? Bodies start to break down. But our bodies begin to fail us. Our memories go. Our abilities fade. All a reminder that death, that evil intruder that many think that it is, every moment of every day continues to inch us nearer, right, and nearer to it. This is why, though, it's wise to then to spend time considering what all of us are here marching towards, because ultimately death is the doorway to eternity. Right? Death is the doorway to eternity, and eternity is what we were made for. Right? And so only the fool doesn't consider what he was made for, and rather just turns a blind eye to those things and acts as if there is no eternity. It's like the person who is so enthralled in their earthly enjoyments that they spend no time heeding the warning that, you know, a storm is coming the next day. And as they are enjoying themselves, the storm swoops in and takes them away, and they die. Right? We all know, brothers and sisters, that the sun will not last forever. And all of us one day will die, and when you die, you will see the sun no more. Which teaches us what, though? To rejoice and to enjoy the good gifts that God gives to us, but to not love them too much, because you're not going to have them forever. Also, it teaches us not to find everything that we love and that we enjoy here upon the earth. Right? Because you and I, we've been made for more than just what is on this earth. Right? Remember when God first made man in the garden? Right? He was made that if he obeyed, he would live with God in paradise eternally, right? Forever. That's what man was made for, but man lost that through sin. And God mercifully saw fit to send His Son, right, that He might restore what was lost, which is the eternity that God created us to have. Right? An eternity that consists in holy and happy communion with God. Now the problem is there are many out there who don't want to remember those things. Right? That refuse to think about those things, that reject that very notion, that convince themselves that nothing else exists and when they die all shall cease. But Solomon will not allow them to go on without remembering this fact that all will be brought before God in judgment for what they have done and how they have lived with the time that they have been given. Look at verse 9 with me. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. When he says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, I think what he's saying to them is this, right? Beware. Right? Beware how you walk, because you are always living before the all-seeing and all-knowing God. And this means that nothing that you do will ever escape Him. No matter how much you would like to think He doesn't exist or that He won't hold you accountable for your sin, right, you will have to give an account to everyone for every thought, word, and deed. And for these things, right, He is coming again to judge the world in righteousness. Which means especially for the youth, because that's who He addresses at the beginning of verse 9, doesn't He? Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Right? What it means is that in your younger years, in your teenage years, in your early adult years, it is not a time to live like the world. Right? It's not a time to live like those around you who are indulging in their sins. Right? It's a reminder that, right, God did not create us for those things. He created us for eternity. And you don't know when eternity will come. Right? You don't know when you will die. You don't know when you will breathe your last breath. And so do not flirt with an eternity of torment forever. Right? Don't flirt with it. Instead, listen to the warning of the rich man in the parable from Luke chapter 16. If you remember there, Jesus tells the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man dies and he goes to hell. And when he's there, right, he speaks to Abraham. And do you remember what he says to Abraham there? He says, Abraham, I have 5 brothers. Please go to them and tell them about this, lest they end up where I end up. And where did he say he was? In a place of torment where he lived in anguish in that fiery place. That's not what any of us ought to desire and want for our lives. This is also why it's important to hear the last thing Solomon says in verse 10. Right? Remove vexation then from your heart. Put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Right? The last thing here he says, as we are headed towards death and eternity, is not only are we to rejoice, not only are we to remember, but we are also to remove some things in the process. Right? What he is ultimately calling upon people to do is to remove all those things that bind us and tie us to hell. Right? That's what it's a call to. All of those things that are natural to us. Right? That word for pain. Right? Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain can also be translated, right? Put away evil. Right? So that Solomon is saying, remove all that leads you to the path of eternal darkness. Right? Remove all evil from your life. Remove all the things that will harm you, not just now, but will harm you forever. It's a call then to part with sin, to part with self, to stop neglecting God. And to see that as you neglect God, you neglect everything that is good for your life, not only now, but for all of eternity. For He is the one that gives true meaning and purpose to our life as we live both now and eternity. He alone is the one who grants comfort and peace, both in light and darkness for the believer. Right? Not just in the light days. When you're a believer, right, He grants comfort and peace when the sun is out, in those good times, in those good seasons of life, but also in those dark and dim seasons of life as we approach death. Right? Only in light of Him, though, can you live life as it's meant to be lived. That only in light of God and knowing Christ can you live a full life and rejoice in the good things and rejoice in the trials. Why? Because you are already assured of where it is you are going, right? Whether your life will be short or whether it will be long, and is that not what we all desire? Right? The pleasure of sin is brief, brothers and sisters. But the consequences of sin last forever. It will last forever. Right? Death is a door, as I said, to eternity. But remember, it's a door to two different eternities. Right? As Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, in verse 46, right, as He separates all people, right, one eternity will be everlasting torment and destruction, and one eternity will be everlasting bliss with God. Right? And so it's those who love evil, right, who, as we read today earlier, right, who sow to the flesh, who love darkness, right, who will receive, right, everlasting destruction. And it's those who know and who love Jesus, or better yet, those who are known and loved by Jesus, who will be the ones who will enter into eternal glory. And the only way to find access to that glory is not through your works. Right? It's not by being better boys and girls. It's not by being better, right, men and women. But rather it's alone by believing in He who justifies the sinner. Right? It is only through faith in Christ that we can be counted as those who are blessed in God. It is only through faith in Christ that God counts us as righteous, not because of our own works, but rather because of what Christ has done in our behalf. Right? To them alone are blessed whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sin is covered in the blood of Christ, whose iniquities are no longer counted against them. For they have turned from sin, they have turned from their evil ways, and they have turned toward God, right, trusting in His Son. And it's when we know our sin is forgiven, it's when we know that Christ is ours, that we can come to a point in our lives in which we don't just live well for Christ, but we can come to a point in our life in which we know we will be ready to die well for Him as well. Because we know that on that final day, right, we know how we will stand before God. Right? We know that on that last day, right, we have the verdict already. Right? We know what that verdict will be as those who've walked by faith and set their sights not just on the present, but on the future. Right? Not just on earthly enjoyments, but rather thinking about images of the glory to come. And so let us all spend time this evening and this week considering what Solomon teaches us about life being lived as those who are headed towards death and ultimately towards eternity. And he says that we are to be spending time rejoicing in the good gifts of God. Right? Rejoice while you are still here, while you can still experience those things. But also be people who live their lives remembering as well. Right? Remembering why we are here, what purpose we are here for, and ultimately that judgment day will come. And then also being people who remove all of those things that will keep us outside of glory. Yet not looking inward to have them removed, but rather looking outward to Christ who came to destroy our every enemy, even the enemy within, in order that He might bring us to where God designed us from the beginning to be, and that is with Him for all of eternity. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, Your Word is an encouragement to the souls of Your people. It is also a reminder of the things that we as Christians ought to be engaged in while we yet live. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be a people who rejoice in all things, knowing that they all come from the sovereign hand of God. We pray, Lord, that You would help us, though, to not be a forgetful people, but a remembering people. Remembering to not become so attached with the things of this earth, but rather to be focusing our attention upon the good gifts that ultimately lie ahead. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be a people who see that sin has no dwelling place with God, and who desire to remove all filthiness and corruption and uncleanness from ourselves through ultimately faith in Christ. But now being those who are made holy, set apart, cleansed by His blood, Lord, we pray that You would continue to excite our hearts and souls to be killing sin each day, recognizing that it has no place in that eternal city. That city which Christ is the door to. And so, Lord, we pray that You would open all of our eyes to our need of Christ, that, Lord, You would bring us all to the door of Christ who is our salvation, so that one day we all might enjoy eternal felicity with God. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.